There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Live local talk over the next 2 hours. Glad you're along for the ride. And phone number, text line, both the same digits, 343-0106. If you're new to town, that's 251. We're in the 251. Which, you know what, that's not going to mean as much anymore. It's not, because everybody, you know, everybody's just sticking with their cell phone numbers. And I talk to people in Washington that have, of course, you know, a 251 or a 334 or 205. I talk to people in Mobile that have a 202. The days of looking at the area code and it meaning something, right? The stays, but for now, for us, our 251 is local as all of us. So, yeah, 251-343-0106. Also remember the website, fmtalk1065.com, where you can get podcasts of like Jeff's show, my man Jeff Poor, who just left the studio. Get his show. You can get Mobile Mornings. You get our great weekend programming, our evening programming, even this show, available in podcast form. Go to fmtalk1065.com, click the podcast tab, or you can subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, or a plethora of other podcast platforms. All right, so a lot to do and a lot to get in on just this hour, first hour of the show. As I said to Jeff a second ago, and if you just got out of the office, just got out of the shop, got getting in the car, the truck, you're just getting on the scooter, whatever it is. So coming up at 12:30, 12:35, that's when we'll talk to Pete Hutchinson from Landmark Legal about the attacks already that have come against Amy Coney Barrett. Y'all probably heard me in my rant last week about that. We'll talk more about what the Democrats are saying and some kind of cut and paste stuff that's out there. Attacks against Amy Coney Barrett that people were supposed to take and cut and paste and put on social media, send to their representatives, those kind of things. So we'll get into that. And also, he has studied the legal career of Amy Coney Barrett. So I got some questions about what the rulings have been in the past, and does that signal, is that a harbinger of what may come in the future? Also, I put this note here, jotted it. I talked about Jeff and Daphne mayoral debate that's coming up tomorrow night. I'm going to be doing the same for Spanish Fort. We'll talk more about that coming up on Thursday night. Show notes here. Fantastic to have SEC football back on. I know it was, you know, it's a month late. It doesn't seem like it's obviously the same, but it was so fantastic that I looked past all those challenges. I don't know if you felt the same way, but I it felt good to hear some football on in the background there. All right, so let's do this in this first half hour and talk about one of the bigger stories out there. And no joke, we're in a news cycle where this is not the biggest story. It's one of the biggest stories or one of the things people are talking about, and that's President Trump's tax return. You know, Jeff talked about it last hour, that this is timed as it's a hit piece, right? Okay. It's timed this far out. He thinks it's late. I think it might be early in where it drops, but it dropped today. And the New York Times released a report that details President Trump's history of income tax payments. And the big claim here is he didn't pay federal income taxes for 10 of the last 15 years. A report also says President Trump paid $750 in income taxes in 2016 and 2017. Of course, this comes out before the first presidential debate is set to take place tomorrow night. But also the word out here from Alan Garten with the Trump Organization. And you heard President Trump say it's fake news. His attorney says most, if not all, of the facts appear to be inaccurate. in the New York Times. And the New York Times would not make the data available to the Trump Organization. So not enough time to get around on this. So I want to talk about it with you this half hour. And if you've read the story here, and first question is, and this could be true for the debate, or it could be true of people reading this New York Times piece, is this going to move the needle? In other words, is it going to switch somebody's vote, that 7% or whatever it is of undecided voters out there? Will this move it? Okay, so here you go. New York Times, so this is a recap from the folks at theweek.com, and that's two E's, not EA, although sometimes they're EA. The Week says, the New York Times got the goods to... Okay, so isn't the new idea that President Trump is better at playing a billionaire on TV than earning enough money to be one in real life? But the New York Times got the goods to prove it. 18 years worth of tax documents from 2000 to 2018 and released the first bombshell Sunday night. All right. First thing here. Well, go to the second paragraph here, and then I want to ask you a question. It says, one eye-catching takeaway from the deep look into Trump's strenuously shielded tax filings is that Trump loses a lot of money. Like a lot, he loses millions at his prized foreign and U.S. golf properties, the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C., and many of the roughly 500 entities that make up the Trump Organization. So which one is it going to be here, by the way? Is it going to be billionaires are bad, wealthy people are bad, or is it going to be ha-ha, like that kid from The Simpsons? You lost a lot of money. I mean, which one is it? Are they going to say, I mean, he's going to be, if this is true, if these things are true in today's world, I mean, I'd like to actually see the, they can redact whatever portions, I'd like to see the tax return information, but is it that the attack is that President Trump is wealthy and beyond belief, so he's disconnected with the American people, or he's lost money, so ha-ha. I'm trying to figure out which one this is. Okay, it goes in and says, the Times, New York Times, also details how President Trump uses those deep red losses to avoid paying federal income tax, at least in the United States. Who built it? Did President Trump build the tax code? Anybody check? Okay, he didn't, right? He said there was a two-year period in which he made too much money to avoid paying taxes. Listen to the way this is slanted. Thanks to his share of NBC's The Apprentice, but then he filed for a refund when the opportunity presented itself after the 2008 financial meltdown. Okay, so it says that he didn't pay taxes for all these years, or only paid $750. Can I point you to something else? So, Jeff Bezos, right? And the Washington Post that came out today and with their full-throated endorsement of former Vice President Joe Biden for president, right? That Joe Biden for president. So Jeff Bezos' company, have you heard of this company? The big one, not the Washington Post. That's probably a place where he loses money so he can write off taxes. That would be Amazon.com. You remember 2017 and 2018, how much in taxes Amazon.com paid? Anybody? Be zero. $0. Amazon.com. Like that Amazon.com. 2017, 2018, $0 in taxes. But Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post are endorsing Bernie Sanders. Okay, we get back into this. Is this the barn burner hit piece that people think it is, or is it just a lesson in how the tax code is built? Something that I've complained about for a long time. All right, we'll talk about that when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Phone line, text line open for you at 343-0106. We're going to get a great look into the career so far and the attacks against Amy Coney Barrett coming up here in just about 15 minutes. Landmark Legal Foundation's Pete Hutchinson will join me here on Midday Mobile. So we'll talk about that coming up at about 12:35. Right now, I want to check in with Larry Kirby at LCM. And he said, Sean, we're not talking trucks today. We're talking what, Larry?
We're talking cars, automobiles. I know that's your least favorite subject. None of them are four-wheel drive. They don't have a winch on them.
Well, okay. Lay it on me. There are car fans out there. Lay it on me.
All right. How about it? We got several. 17 Chevrolet Cruze with 30,000 miles, a 17 Chevrolet Malibu, 30,000 miles, an 18 model Ford Fusion with 30,000 miles, and a 19 Toyota Corolla with 14,000 miles.
Now, the next question here is that great financing you and I talk about when it comes to trucks, what about in automobiles?
In cars, especially with these low-mileage cars, they jump all over. The credit unions jump all over them. You get fantastic rates and fantastic terms because they treat them almost like new cars.
All right. I like that, and I will advise people that are looking for one of those cars to come see you. Tell them how to find you.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road. Business online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, I'm going to get to some of these texts and phone calls in a second. I do want to read through, just give me a second here for a couple more. This is from The Week, and The Week is one of those websites that'll like recap things. Sometimes I just call it The Week, W-E-E-K. Sometimes it's W-E-A-K. I think they're on the E-A portion right now. So let me just run through the meat of this, and then we'll go to the funds. So The Times also details how Trump uses those deep red losses to avoid paying federal income tax, at least in the U.S. Remember, they just said that this is of Trump's nearly 500 entities. So they can't decide whether it's going to be Trump, the corporation, the brand, and the entities, or it's going to be the president himself. But I just wanted to point out, if we're going to talk about entities, we're going to talk about those. Jeff Bezos, who by the way, a Washington Post endorsing Biden, I know 2 years in particular, maybe there were others, but I think it was 2016, 2017, AmazonStinkin.com. Bezos, the wealthiest person on planet Earth, I think, if I am correct, they paid zero in taxes. Okay. So it goes on in the story to talk about the debt that the president has, and they intimate in this that because the president has this debt, then therefore he's going to be beholden to somebody out there. I'd like to see this broken down for folks that have, because when they start talking about Trump proclaimed himself king of debt, well, if he's using that, it's just like the tax formula. If he's a tax cheat, then convict him on it. Convict him on it. If he's using the tax code that was written by a bunch of people whose name is not Donald J. Trump, and he's doing it legally, if you have a business, if you've invested into a business, and that business is not doing what is legally available to it to shield its money from taxes, if they're not living up to the letter of the law, not crossing it, you're not investing in the right company, correct? And so to say that, I mean, they don't come out and say he was a tax cheat. They just, he only paid $750 in federal income tax. Well, then what is the system that let that happen? And the fact is, when a company has a big loss, then that is used against future earnings. I mean, this is tax code. And also, when you throw this out to us regular Americans and go, okay, well, he's depreciating all these things. He's taking deductions for that. That's what businesses do. It's what they do that's part of the plan. People that are way savvier in this than I have counseled me over the years, working this company, going, well, why are you doing it that way? I don't know. They said, well, this is how it's supposed to be done. This is how you do this, that, and the other. This is normal stuff in business, but it's going to be rolled out like it's nefarious. This is happening even at Amazon.com. Okay? Now, if they can show President Trump knowingly was cheating on taxes, then get him. Because they'd come after us, too. But if it's a bunch of intimation of, he's using debt and he's leveraging and he's depreciating, the line is going to be long of people that the New York Times should go after. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. And let's go to Ron in Mobile. Hey, Ron.
How you doing, Sean?
Hey, good, man. So so President Trump's tax record here, what do you think?
Well, let me ask you a question. How many people do you know who would voluntarily pay more taxes than they owe?
Yeah, I haven't seen. I haven't even seen that within liberal ranks.
I don't think anybody would. Like you're saying, I agree with you. This is a lesson in how the tax code works, because what he has done is hired some accountants who look for every way they can to save him money that is based on the law. He's not doing anything outside the law, and they're making it look like he's a crook.
Well, and if he's a crook, listen, if he's a crook, Ron, go after him. If they did something illegal, but intimating because you worked the tax code, then you're going to have to go after. New York Times is going to have a hit piece every 16 seconds running on there.
A bunch of people who are on the staff, maybe. There's a lot of people who run that newspaper, maybe, who have accountants who work on the CPA who works on that to make sure they don't pay more taxes than they owe. That's all he's doing.
That's correct. And would you, if you looked at two businesses, you got two widget companies, and one just is, going, oh, well, I go, whatever they tell me I owe. And then the other is, hey, we've got an accountant, we've got a CPA in here to try to make sure we minimize the taxes we're paying. We can do this, that, and the other. Which one do you invest in?
I'm not going to invest in the first one, that's
right.
For sure.
This is the frustration of this.
And for them to make out like, this is a big bombshell, it's another way of getting a hit piece out about Trump before November 3rd.
Does this stick? Does this spaghetti stick to any wall out there?
Any thinking person is going to say, oh, this is nothing. It's that low-information voter out there that I worry about.
Yep. That's and it may, but is that person still in play? You know what I'm saying? Are they still wondering who they're going to vote for in whatever it is now? What are we looking at? 4.5 weeks, something like that? So
it's only a month.
Yeah. So there we go.
We're a month away.
There it is. Ron, appreciate your call, man. Thank you. A lot of text here. Okay, so I'm trying to go through these. Okay, well, one of the things here is that the whole taxes issue here. Now, who's this? These are moving around. Unnamed texture. The whole taxes issue is like the most non-issue. It would fit in a major topic in 1972, seriously, and I know it won't move the needle. Heck, we all try to pay less taxes as we already get overtaxed. Heck, I don't know. If I could get out of paying less tax, I dang sure would try. 50% or close if I don't pay any taxes. Okay. Once again, I will put myself in this uncomfortable position. I hate the tax code as it is. I hate corporate welfare as it is. Hey, policies put in during the Bush administration drove me crazy. Hey, we're going to give you a electric car tax incentive, right? Which was doubled down on during Obama, but that came up during Bush. It wasn't for what happened there. And there are going to be a bunch of people say, Sean, be quiet. People bought real fancy golf carts and just made sure they had side view mirrors on them and this and that and got the tax deduction. I mean, this is the government tries to use the tax code to encourage or disincentivize certain behaviors. And when it's obvious things like mortgage deduction or married tax credits or children's tax credits, those things, it's obvious. But there's a whole slew of other things that they use to nudge behavior by tax code. If you have enough tax dollars at risk, you pay somebody to navigate that Byzantine system and get you out on the other end. New York Times, somebody say, was it illegal? New York Times never said it was illegal. So I don't know where it's getting taken to that level at this point. All right, coming right back, we're talking Amy Coney Barrett on Midday Mobile. Pete Hutchinson joins.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. And by the way, this is official. If I'm going to say it's not an official message about Alabama Auto Clean, but it is an official message about Alabama Auto Clean and my buddy Ricky over there. I put this thing to the test, by the way. I had to, you know, I was out of a trunk. I told y'all I got my truck broken into back in August, and it was at the shop getting fixed for quite a while. New glass, big dents in the vehicle. The idiot couldn't throw a brick, trying to throw a brick through my window, and I couldn't pull that off. So he threw it into the side of the truck several times before he accomplished getting the brick through the window. But I had to borrow a family member's truck and used it for quite a while, and let alone coming and going to the farm and my children and all those things. The truck didn't look like kind of the kept-in garage, driven 10 miles a week kind of vehicle that I borrowed. So I took it to Ricky at Alabama Auto Clean, and I think I'll be able to borrow that truck anytime going forward. It was just awesome. Got the full detail and cleaning. I mean, the truck's shining. Kind of proud to leave it in the garage there, and I'm thinking from now on, if I say, hey, I need to borrow that truck, I don't have... Okay, absolutely. All right, phone calls and then some text. Nick is in Mobile up first. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Sean. Hey, good to talk to you, man.
Likewise.
Two things. Well, first, I got to mention about Alabama Auto Clean. A little story. A few years back, had two small children. They destroyed my wife's vehicle, you know, Cheerios everywhere.
Yes.
Brought it in, got it cleaned, and the next morning when she got up to go to work, she was convinced that I had traded her car in for a new car. Absolutely convinced. It blew her mind.
That's pretty strong. That is a strong endorsement. Man, I could say, because just in like 3 weeks' time, my children had pretty much destroyed this truck, and they brought it back to perfect. So, good story.
Yeah, absolutely. But the reason I was calling was, when I hear these things about, tax, information is released, the first thing, my gut reaction is always, gosh, these guys have really good CPAs, really good accountants. I never think of anything nefarious or illegal going on because these guys are too high profile. If they were doing anything, it would have been exposed a long time ago.
They would love to audit. Don't you know, in the list of people to get audited, somebody not only with that kind of money going back and forth, but who is flashy. Right? President Trump is a flashy guy. He's like the counter to my personality. He's a flashy guy. He likes people to look at him. They'd have gone after him in a heartbeat.
For sure, yeah. He'd have been exposed a long time ago, well before he ever got elected the first time.
So what do you think? I mean, you and I are talking about this. The text line's full of people that get what's going on here, but do you think this, like I said to Ron earlier, do you think this spaghetti sticks on any wall out there? Do you think there's somebody going, I knew it all the time, he's a tax cheat?
You know, only as the first caller said, to the lesser informed, maybe, possibly. But to those who think for themselves and people like myself who are small business owners, I seriously doubt anybody would believe in this as some scheme or something negative towards the president.
Well said. Nick, I appreciate your call. Thank you, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, what a great story, yes. And the food item, if you, all of us that have raised youngins and driven around the car, I don't care if you say no food in the car. There's probably at least 10,000 to 20,000 calories available somewhere in the car underneath seats and all those kind of things. All right, this text says, it's my man Eric. It says, Sean, just to remind everybody, the question about the taxes came up in the last election. The president said he just took advantage of the system as it is, so he has not denied anything. As long as it wasn't illegal, what difference does it make if he paid millions of dollars in taxes or not? The system is set up that way. Preach, Eric. That's the thing. It's... It says Trump needs to show his tax returns. And they, who knows? Here's one of the things. I said this at the beginning of the hour. This is going to be, which, and let me credit this. Let me credit this to Mrs. Sullivan, because she said, because she was giving me a ride to Alabama Auto Clean to pick up the family member's truck to take back to him. And we were listening to Jeff's show and a little bit of this discussion. And she said, so what is it? Which one is it? Is it he's successful, so therefore he must have gotten it, you know, the wrong way? Or, ha-ha, you lost money. I mean, which way do they want to have it on this? I mean, is it billionaires bad, or, ha-ha, you lost money and you're not a billionaire? I think that's the Achilles heel on this. And I don't know that it comes out here. I gotta look at this. But I think the Achilles heel would be not for voters, but maybe just not a man. I don't know President Trump personally. I've talked to him on the radio once, right? But I think he would react if it came out and showed some loss of face when it comes to wealth. But at what level? To most of us, that level of wealth is he's doing all right. And I think Jeff said hour before or so, you know, maybe he's not Warren Buffett. Maybe he's not Jeff Bezos, but he's doing all right. Yeah, and so Terry has asked, and then another texter, what business or right of mind it is to see another person's tax return. You know, I don't know if that was codified. And Terry's saying tax records are confidential. Yeah, but I don't know if it was codified or it's just something that we do, right? There's the president's, the two things from the executive branch. You'll see the president have a health screening, right? And they say, the health of the president is good. And then, you know, the releasing of the tax returns. I don't think that's required. I think they got to look if there's any kind of conflict of interest, right? But the releasing the tax return, we've seen it for presidents past that they release this. But presidents past have not been, you know, somebody that has, let's say, roughly 500 entities that make up the Trump organization. I mean, I don't think we've ever had a president like that before. So, and once again, I'm not, there's a story out, what Drudge had something up that, what was it, that you white men out there wouldn't depart Trump for anything. I'm paraphrasing here. Let's see if they still have this up here. That white men, well, I've lost it now, but that wouldn't abandon President Trump for anything. I will say this, my value and my worth is not tied up in President Trump. It is in our nation, our republic, and the Constitution. So if there was nefarious stuff going on, if he's running rackets and stuff like that, then fine. Bust him on it. I'm not going to be out there like some would be defending it. And, you know, I have liberal friends of mine have sent me all this stuff like, oh, they got him now. I'm like, do they? To you, they do. But to me, he's running these business. If you've got it, if he is violating the law, then go get him. Then go get him. If not, I don't know what to tell you. That there's a lot of people out here, like Nick, who earlier is going to say, well, somebody who's in business realizes what this behavior is. This behavior is what all businesses that are worth their salt do. Try to minimize the taxes. And by the way, these entities and the corporation, they're not good, nor they. Are they bad? In other words, they are not evil or good. They're efficient or they're inefficient, or they're somewhere in between on the spectrum. Okay? All right. Tell you what we'll do. We'll run to the break here in a second, because it looks like, we may be able to still get... So our guest was going to... We're going to talk some Amy Coney Barrett here in a second, and then something changed on this, and now I'm going to put it... All right, we'll do this in next segment. Okay, next segment. So let me do this. Fred is in Mobile. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm talking through the glass to Dalton, and he and I speak our own language, so I'm sorry about that. So, Fred, what's up, man?
Okay, instead of everybody being mad about the president and his, the least amount of taxes that he can pay, and first, it's like I told a friend of mine, that if he can do it, more power to him. What we're really missing the point, which is our tax system is really screwed up and unfair.
Preach. I'm with you.
I mean, that's really the message. The message should be not that the president is doing, which, unless somebody proves different, he's doing by what's legally is available to him, then shouldn't we really have a fairer tax system instead of one that takes and rewards the rich like President Trump and others? I mean, because he's not the only one.
But the problem. We got to have somebody in there to turn that around, because, President Trump didn't write this tax code. It's been written over the decades by Democrats and Republicans in Congress, and they are lobbied by people that have a lot of money at risk, right? So the problem is we don't have a... We the people, regular middle-class Americans, we got to get together and all hire our own lobbyists to work on that.
Yeah, that's my point. And that's like I say, everybody's missing that point, is the fact that he's doing what's legal.
Yep.
The problem is that our tax code is so unfair that it penalizes the poorest instead of making it fair to everybody.
Well said, Fred. I appreciate your call. Well said. And, you know, while I'm on that, let me just throw this in. This is kind of a non sequitur, but I like to go ahead and leave my stamp on these things. Hey, Alabama. Let's work to don't just tell me it's impossible because there's no way to replace the revenue, this or that or the other. Let's work on full freight sales tax on groceries. Really. I mean, you want to talk about helping out folks, the whole tax code, I could come in here and tell you we need to upend the whole thing and rewrite it, and I had decades of cheering for that, and then the world beat me down, and I realized, hey, you're not going to completely undo this thing, Sullivan, but you kind of nudge it this way and that way. And one of the places I'd like to see it nudged in our home state to help out those who can least afford it is to do away entirely, or if impossible, reduce the rate on sales tax on groceries, the basics of life. Maybe that's not the ho-hos or the Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, but the essentials. The essential foods for working, these are the working poor, not the people getting the assistance, the working poor. Let's do away with the big sales tax on groceries. All right, coming back in just a minute here, we'll move to the discussion of the president's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett for the Supreme Court and the attacks that are already out there against her. We'll talk about that next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. As I mentioned earlier, from Landmark Legal Foundation, Pete Hutchinson is joining us to talk about President's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. And y'all have heard me ranting on the attacks that were launched, well, a week and something ago when it was not a sure thing against Amy Coney Barrett. They've now ramped up over the weekend, and we'll talk more about that right now with Pete Hutchinson. And thanks for your time. Pete, you with me?
I'm here.
There we
I'm
go.
Here.
All right, good. So, Pete, you're with Landmark Legal. What do you do with Landmark Legal?
Well, I'm the president, so I empty the trash and kind of help do the books and help run our legal program. We're in our 45th year. We're out of Kansas City, Missouri, and Washington, D.C. Mark Levin, who's one of your colleague radio guys, was the president for the 20 years prior to my service. But Mark and I have worked together at Landmark for over 25 years. We work on election integrity. We work on judicial confirmations and the Supreme Court generally. We are in several cases there every year. And we represent some families in border security cases. Who've lost a loved one to somebody in the country illegally. So we're kind of all over the map. Very small and small but mighty.
Yeah, you know what? We resemble that remark around here, so I appreciate it. I read this. You wrote, this appointment, meaning the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett, this appointment spells the end of the Supreme Court as a super legislature. Oh, you had me at that line. Judge Barrett's nomination represents a watershed moment for the Constitution and the country. She is eminently qualified and possessed of impeccable character, but no telling what dirty tricks the radical leftists on the Judiciary Committee have come up, have up their sleeves. Okay. Yeah. First of all, let's talk about the super legislature. Man, we're on the same track.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm calling this morning in America. It's morning for conservatives because we've got the justice that we've been waiting for decades. And it's morning for the left, but it's spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G because the court as a rubber stamp to leftist policies that never would be able to be enacted by Congress or local legislatures. You know, the days of getting those through court order, those are over. That's just not going to happen anymore. And that's why it is such an exciting time to be an American. The Constitution is breathing a sigh of relief. This is a big moment.
I wonder, the attacks, and you've listed some in an email here, and a Washington Examiner article was talking about it as well. But Pete, the attacks I was hearing a week and a half ago or more, I think I maybe lost my cool on a Newsweek article where they went through and trying to say, you know, basically Amy Coney Barrett's Charismatic Catholic group was the essence of The Handmaid's Tale, and then at the very end of the Newsweek article, they said, well, actually it isn't. But what is it? So this is the best that she's a practicing Catholic, and she believes in the dogma of the Catholic Church. When did this become a DQ for SCOTUS?
It used to be a problem, you know, but when John F. Kennedy ran for president, you know, that was a concern. Is he going to kowtow to the Pope? The American public got over it at that point. But no, for the Supreme Court, they've got nothing on this woman. Her academic and judicial record is you know, you just can't touch it, and her personal life is awesome. Now, I happen to be Catholic, and I happen to be the father of seven children.
Good
and,
for you.
I know that people look at us like we're nut jobs, but we really aren't. We're just out here living the dream. And we're not zealots, and we're not, you know, we're not all this stuff. But, we do have a faith life, and we embrace it, and we're not ashamed of it. And, you know, in the United States, unfortunately, over the last 40 years, if you're that kind of person, then you're really not welcome at the secularist table, which is where the Supreme Court's been, and where Congress certainly has gone, and, you know, we're people too.
Yeah, and Pete, I think it comes from, you're right, it comes from the left who can't separate themselves from their faith, which is government, to government, which is government in their world.
That's right.
Versus, you know, I mean, in that article, they said, well, you know, this group believes in no premarital sex, and that sex is marriage is between a man and a woman. And they put it in its own paragraph, you know, set out there like it was shocking. They ought to look at the face of most Americans. That's pretty much up and down the board there. If that's the best thing they have to attack on, then maybe I feel good about confirmation hearings and what the left will come with.
Well, I'd say that you know, the left is completely consumed with genitalia and sexual practices. Those of us that are conservative, generally, we don't care.
That's right.
I don't care. I'm more concerned about government policies, plans, and statutes, and Judge and soon Justice Barrett is going to be concerned about, does this law that I'm evaluating today comport with the Constitution of the United States? That's all she's going to do. She's not going to say, oh, does this mean that, you know, this policy is going to be upended? That's not her job. It's never been their job, and that's why this is such a great appointment.
And you're right, it has never been the job, but that super legislature you described there is what it's come to mean for a lot of folks. And I say with chagrin, I think the legislative branch has defected from some of their tasks before, and those things end up coming to the judicial branch. But if she's a constitutionalist, it seems like the fear from the left is she's going to change this ruling and that ruling and that ruling and that
right.
ruling. That's not a conservative justice isn't looking for a ruling to overturn. They're looking to uphold the Constitution. Am I right?
Well, yes, you're right. And generally speaking, the conservative jurisprudence requires respect for existing jurisprudence. However, if it's a phony, terrible decision, it's, you know, it could be on the table. But I don't think, you know, she's not going in there with a, like, I'm going to get rid of Roe versus Wade as you know, a terrible decision as it is. It's not like the end-all, be-all. There's far more important, well, I won't say there's far more important things, but there's far more items on the agenda. But it's whatever the court takes, whatever comes before them. She's not going to be there, like, with an axe to grind. And I think the left ought to appreciate that, because if conservatives actually did have access to grind, they would have gotten rid of Roe versus Wade years ago with this so-called 5-4 majority. You know, it's just not the way things are. And, you know, if you look back, like in 200 years, when people look back at our society, they're going to say, what is with the obsession with preserving the ability to kill your child. It's just it's so weird. But anyway, she's not obsessed with that.
It seems to me that a justice like Amy Coney Barrett would be more likely to, in most cases, to uphold law than change it. And I mean, that's what I think a lot of conservatives want. I think that's a lot of folks came out and voted for President Trump. You know, if they at that point they weren't sold on President Trump in 2016, but they said, heck, we got, we'll have a conservative in there to make these Supreme Court nominations. I think that's going to resonate again in 2020.
Well, I think it very well may. And, here's what's going to happen over the long term. Congress is going to be required to do its job. And Congress has steadily, over the decades, passed off its responsibility and its consequences of Congress's actions by making these very broad laws and having eight federal agencies carry them out. By issuing regulation after regulation. I don't think they're going to be able to get away with that anymore. And I think that, in and of itself, is a wonderful prospect for us all, because it's going to require politicians, elected officials, to work together and actually work problems and not just pass them off to nameless, faceless bureaucrats.
I celebrate that along with you, Pete, very much so. Pete Hutchinson with Landmark Legal Foundation. We've got to do it again soon. If people want to reach out and find out more about y'all, how do they do it?
LandmarkLegal.org is our website, and you can go there and read some stuff about us. And we are a 501c3, and so contributions are tax deductible. We don't take any government money, no PPP loans. We're in it with the support of our army of contributors, and love to have them.
Thank you, Pete. We appreciate it. Coming right back, hour number two.